the Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value, and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240.
So we have an array of guests for the Monday Lunchtime Social Debate. We have Joan Ellis in, author of many books and lots of other talents as well. And we've also got Dame Shirley in, Chief Sewer at Nine Acres Primary School. Is it Nine Acres?
Mm. Yeah, you're right. I do all their costumes for their plays.
In charge of sewing, you are. Okay, so ladies, welcome. And it's the first time we've ever... No, it's not the first time we've done a Lunchtime Social Debate, because you've done... you've come in and talked about books and done a bit of literary as well, haven't you?
Yeah, but this is a different subject, isn't it?
Oh, this is even much more fun, this is, because we just get to talk about what we want to talk about, really. There's so much stuff going on in the world that is so depressing, yeah. and everyone's got an opinion on it, and I don't think it helps. And you know, I also equally think that no one really has... the answers for anything.
No, we haven't.
So until we have the answers, I think we ought to keep stum on it. Don't you think that's right?
Oh yes, because I don't think there is an answer. Someone's got to sort it out somewhere, but I don't know what they're going to do. I've got no opinion of how they could do it or anything.
There was a wonderful thing that I saw over on Facebook over the weekend, that it was this chap just explaining the whole thing about how the world is interconnected, and they're friends with that person, which are friends with that, and they're not friends, and so on. And it was just really fascinating, and it highlighted the real reason why nothing will ever get sorted. Yeah. Is because a lot of the countries are two-faced, because they've got a friend that is a friend and a friend that isn't a friend, that's connected to the friend that isn't a friend, and so on and so forth. So anyway, we're going to steer clear of that.
Yeah.
Because it's complicated and no one really has the answer. No. So, Dame Shirley came up with these two subjects. So, if you know you're not enjoying it this lunchtime, you can blame Dame Shirley. And at the end of the show, yes, of course, we'll give you her address. So, what's the first one you came out with this morning was all to do with Skyping in prison.
Yes, apparently they're trying it out as a project in a prison, a low security jail. It is. About letting the 70 prisoners going to be trialled, to let them Skype to their families. It's near the end of their sentence, apparently, and they think that they should be allowed to talk to their children and their wives, or, you know, their families. They're going to do it for 30 minutes a week.
Are you on the Daily Mirror website looking at this?
I don't know what website I'm on. I've just put it in Google. I've just Googled it. It's come up.
The reason why I ask is because it's interesting, because if you're on a certain website and I'm reading from another website, it'd be interesting in the terminology, the words that they actually use.
Yeah, yeah. But they were talking about this on the television the other day. This is what I thought about. I just Googled it, and I don't quite know what site it's on. It's just, you know, just come up.
Okay. Well, let me just, because I've got one here, and it's the Daily Mirror, but straight away they've called these people lags. And you automatically think, okay, they're lags. And prisoners allowed to make Skype video calls for the first time in the UK. More than 70 lags. You know, the terminology is they're down on them straight away.
They're running them down.
Now, isn't your background something similar to this? You worked in newspapers or something, or you were...
I worked in advertising, so I wouldn't call them lags, no.
No.
No, I think that's an awful thing to say, actually, because everybody's got their opinion on this, haven't they?
Well, they have, but then straight away, they're almost... That negativity is there. I mean, when
that's the press for you, isn't it? The Sun will spin a story one day one way, and the Telegraph will spin it another. When I applied at the, NUJ, School of Journalism, and I actually had to write the same piece of news, but one piece was for the Sun and one piece was for the Telegraph. So it's what you're saying, Ian, that terminology, totally different.
Yeah.
To, you know, get people's backs up, get people talking, rile people.
So when you read one story, then read another, you would form an opinion. What's your opinion? Before we take this any further, what was your opinion at the beginning?
I don't really agree with it, because I think they're put into prison because they've done something wrong.
Okay.
And also, surely they can... I know they're going to be monitored, but surely they can send messages by facial... I just don't agree with it.
Okay. Well, I would imagine they've. It'll be interesting to see what happens at the end of this programme, whether you've got a different opinion, because we've talked it through, we've read the finer print, and then you think, well, hang on a minute, there's no danger to anybody, supposedly.
But you see, the families go in to visit them anyway, so they see their children, they see their wives and that, don't they?
Okay.
To go and visit them.
So I imagine it'd be quite traumatic for the children to go in.
Yeah.
And perhaps they are miles away and can't get there as often as they'd like. Mm. And I suppose it's that story that the children are the casualties of what's happened, aren't they? It's not their fault, and they're missing out on their father or their mother, whoever it is. And that must be, that's the heartbreaking side of this. And I suppose if this gives them another communication channel with their kids, then that's got to be a good thing, hasn't it? But I do, you know, completely understand what you're saying as well.
It is a difficult one, isn't it?
Indeed.
Yes.
Yeah. See, is this the difference between men and women then? Because we're also chucking into the equation things that we didn't know about women and things we didn't know about men. I'm looking at you two and thinking, right, okay, there is a nicer, warmer, softer side than maybe men would be a little bit harder. And I'm saying, well, hang on a minute, you're in prison. If you can't do the, you know, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. The time means you're not going to have, you know, much contact with the outside world. Skype is new. Yeah, okay, I don't care. You know, Skype is new. Yeah. Tough. Make a phone call.
It shouldn't
be happening. But I'm hearing you, and it's a slightly softer approach than I would take.
Yeah, apparently it's all to do with rehabilitation. You know, when they're just coming out, I presume, near to the end of their...
Is it rehabilitation?
I don't see how that's rehabilitating them, really.
No, I don't think so either.
And I think just because we've got... I'm going back here, really, on what I said, but I do feel very strongly about the children. But just because we've got technology and can do something, does it mean we should do something?
Yeah, no, good point. But I say, the end of the day, I look at it and just think, you've just gone soft. That's not rehabilitation. That is us going soft on them. They're no threat to anybody. Okay, you can now phone home. You can now Skype home. You can now see your grandchildren, your children on a screen and so on. And you could quite easily be giving messages, some kind of strange messages out. So, you know, coded message, call it what you will. Mm. You know, I just think it's wrong. It's wrong on every single level.
But somebody was saying that, I was listening to this conversation on the television, and they were saying that it stops them communicating with all the other people and getting bad ways, because they go into prison and they mix with all the wrong people and they learn things of how to maybe do something wrong and they come out and do it. They say that maybe if they're allowed to Skype once a week, they've got that to focus on.
But that's only a very short point in their week. The rest of the time they can be getting up to goodness knows what, can't they?
Yeah, so, that's true. Yeah.
That's a very
I don't think they should be allowed to have it.
I mean, they do have a lot of home comforts in prison don't they?
Yes, too many, I think.
I remember going on a trip round Alcatraz, and that was just hideous. I can't imagine what that was like. Mm. But, you know, they do have everything. And yonks ago, I can remember my poor mum when she was struggling, when we didn't have any money at all. Mm. And she actually said to me, you know, she said, I'd be better off in prison because I'd have all my bills paid. I'd have, you know, I'd be warm, I'd be fed. And I thought, God, Mum, that's a terrible thing to say.
Yeah.
But you grow up and you think, she was right, you know, in many ways. They don't have that struggle in that sense,
they've got no worries, have they?
Not only
about their family.
If they've got a family.
Yeah, that's right. You know. But, they come out and they reoffend and they go back in. It's always the same people.
But often they want to go back in because they've got institutionalised to that lifestyle where everything is found for them, where they've got no pressure or worries. Yeah. Some they are being looked after all the time, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like a low rent hotel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's not a good thing, though, is it? Because it should be harder. Otherwise, it's a case of, do you know what? Life on the outside is tougher than it is on the inside. I'm going to go out there, reoffend, and come straight back in. And apparently, there are people that do this on a regular basis.
I think it's wrong what they're given. I've seen the gym up at one of our prisons, and it's absolutely fantastic. You know, if you want to join a gym on the outside, it costs you the earth.
Yeah.
You know, why have they got it for nothing, you know?
And they smuggle in their mobile phones, don't they, so that they can communicate.
They do.
They get those in there, they get drugs in there.
They do. They get them in somehow, yeah.
Yeah, well, the killer I met on the train, which is the inspiration for one of my books, he spent this 90-minute train journey when I was sort of holed up next to him, telling me all this minute detail of how they cope in prison and what they do.
Yeah.
And because I was trying to call his bluff, you know, I thought, I was saying, well, how do you get the phones in? And then after I'd asked him, I wish I hadn't.
My sister used to work in A&E, right opposite the prison, and some of the things that the prisoners used to have to come across for.
Yes,
an eye-opener.
You can imagine. Yeah, yeah. And then I said to him,
it's not
okay,
really an eye-opener, is it?
No,
no, no. You know what I mean? How they smuggled him in and they got caught.
Winking at you. But you know, I said to him, okay, so you've got the phone in there, so how do you charge it? You know, thinking I'm catching him out. But then he explained to me exactly, you know, what they use. It's a you know, a couple of screws out the bedposts, flex from the kettle. And I was like, oh my
goodness.
Yes, I mean, because they're very clever people, aren't they?
Yes.
And so they come up with all these ways. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, they shouldn't have Skype then. Not one I've just heard. I think that,
okay,
you know,
look,
yeah.
Prisoners have been allocated up to 30 minutes a week and make calls from a soundproof suite, which is monitored by security cameras.
Yeah.
It is particularly popular among foreign nationals.
Mm.
The scheme was piloted last year but could be extended to other prisons. Mm. Let's hope it's not.
Mm.
Does this cost money? Because we're always being told about austerity cuts, etc., etc. Is there something else that's going to cost money?
Well, obviously, they've got computers that they're using, aren't they? So we're providing computers for them. It's just
shocking statistics reveal one prisoner commits suicide every 4 days in UK jails.
Yeah.
Mr. Eagleson added, one of the most serious aspects of being in prison can be the sense of isolation and even abandonment. And one of the most effective supports can be given to prisoners is the assurance that they are not forgotten. There's other ways of doing it, though, aren't there? You don't have to have them on a TV screen.
I suppose, again, if a lot of them are put miles away, I mean, for example, you know, people are put in prison on the Isle of Wight, people have got to make that journey on the ferry, I suppose the cost is pretty prohibitive, isn't it?
But then you think, hang on a minute, you're in prison for a reason.
But I'm not talking about them, Ian, I'm talking about their kids and, you know, those other people that are affected.
Sure, I agree, but that's unfortunately, because that person there has committed a crime, it's not going to be very nice for those people. That's just the way of the world. It's just because otherwise you're going to give in to those youngsters, those kids that are not seeing their dads, but then they get what they want virtually, and they're not being punished. The people are being punished properly here. The people you mentioned there, the kids, and maybe a wife that has to travel and so on. But that's just the way of the world, isn't it? Unfortunately, see, this is the other thing that we're talking about.
That's a shocking statistic, what you just read out. And when we started this debate 5-10 minutes ago, I was completely unaware of that.
Mm.
I mean, that is horrific, isn't
it?
1 in 4. And if one of the reasons they're doing it is because they feel so isolated. And imagine you get in there and you have probably no concept, if you haven't been inside before, how horrific what you're going to face is.
And also, a lot of the prisoners that have got mental health problems and they shouldn't be in that certain jail. You know, it's difficult.
Okay,
yeah.
Look, just on what you've just said there, I mean, I'm a reasonable man, and I'm thinking, right, those people that are and have many people visiting, and those people that don't, just say, for instance, they're posted in a prison in, I don't know, Newcastle. It could be Slade Prison, because I think that's roughly where it was, wasn't it? Slade Prison. It was, what's his face, from Porridge. That's where he was posted. Just say, for instance, his wife was and family come from London. That's a bit of a long old, you know.
But I think they try to put them in the prison near where they're living.
But if they don't, then I can fully understand that maybe that's when they ought to say, right, okay, because you're, instead of a visit, you can now have a Skype.
Yes.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, that would
save
so much hassle. Just say, for instance, you've got a husband inside, you don't think much of him, but you want to keep his spirits up. Hey, look, instead of having to come and see you, got a job and a life, we're going to Skype you instead, which is less inconvenient to me. I can understand that, and I can see the reasons for doing it. You know, you can have a Skype visit, if you like, or a Skype instead of your visit, but not as well as. That, to me, is just OTT.
Yeah, which they don't say, you see, in the article. They don't say Skype instead of a visit.
That would make perfect sense.
Yes.
You've just solved it, Ian. Well,
maybe
done.
I should be a prison governor.
Well, yeah. Do you know, Ian, that's a perfect job for you.
Well, do you know, I mean, thank you. When
do you remember Googie Withers in Within These Walls?
Yes. Yes, amazing.
I'm far too young to remember. But if you were asked, because your husband was, he works in the prison.
He worked there for 20 years in the stores.
All right. Was he worked in a prison or was he inside?
No, he worked in there, Ian.
Right. Is there a difference, though? Because the only difference is you get to come out, or he gets to come out every day.
Yeah.
Was there an element of how he felt like a prisoner because he was inside with him most of the time?
No, not really at all.
Because I know that there is that element of, and I know that I used to have some uncles. My mum's had many uncles, you know, that used to be prison officers. And they used to mention the fact that they felt like they were inside as well after.
Well, Mick wasn't up on the actual floor with them. He was in the stores. And the prisoners had to come to him to change. If they broke their telly, for instance, they'd get it changed straight away, you know?
Did you say if they break their telly, they get it changed straight away?
Oh, yes. They don't have to wait.
Hang on, they got televisions.
They have, Ian.
What, in their cells?
Yeah.
They got televisions in their cells.
They've got everything what they need.
It's all about human rights, isn't it?
Yeah.
They've got certain human rights.
Yeah, they have. And they come and change anything that's wrong, you know, they get it changed. No question, they do.
Whereas if our telly goes on the blink.
Oh, we have to pay for it, don't we? A new one.
Hang around, wait.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever met Don Smith? Don Smith is...
He's a character, isn't he?
He's an 80-year-old guy that spent most of his life inside a prison.
As a prison officer.
Yeah. Mm. And he would tell you that they need these things. If you don't give it to them, there'll be a riot.
That's right. This is what they do to keep them quiet. They let them have it.
They let them have those things. Yeah. So they can watch the television, they can educate themselves by watching, you know, TV programmes or not.
And I think they've got their own kettles in their room, haven't they?
Well, they obviously have, because this guy said they use the kettle flex to charge the phone.
So they can make their cup of tea when they want them. This is why they re-offend and go back in, isn't it?
That's what I'm saying. They get to that easy, becomes easier.
And
so
their food
easier.
Is fantastic in there.
Yeah, I would imagine it is, isn't it? Otherwise they'd riot.
Yeah, they would. This is why they do it, to keep them quiet.
So have we gone soft then?
Of course, yes.
And is this just another way of going soft?
Yeah, is this human rights, is what Joan was saying, yeah.
And a lot of them, they still run their empires and their, you know, their businesses, if you like, from their cells, don't they? Mm. They just carry on in the outside world, but just from the comfort of the prison.
Yeah.
Okay, this article goes on to say that imprisonment may also have a devastating effect on the development of relationships between the child and the father. Being able to interact in real time with their father in their home helps children to understand he is engaged with their lives, interested in their achievements, and is there to support them in times of difficulty. The interaction also helps foster a sense of security, mitigate any negative social and developmental aspects on the children, and ease the reintegration of the father into the family home following release. Would you agree with that?
I was brought up without a father for many years, and he wasn't in prison, but he was completely absent from my life. So I know what it's like to be or not have that guiding hand, that love, that support. So yes, that's what I'm saying. When you start talking about that, it becomes a very different debate. It's a totally different debate once you bring children into
it. Sure.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It does affect, you know, and you think as the child at the time, you think it doesn't affect you. And then as you grow up, you see that the insecurity, you see the lack of trust, whatever it is, it's going to have an effect. No matter how strong you are.
Yes, it would on the children.
And no matter how you know, strong your mother is and how much love the mother gives, or the father, depending on who they're with, or the family, you know, they might have terrific support from the family, but they're still missing that one key person in their life.
Okay. I've read very recently, and it was a comedy series as well, and it was a really good comedy series, Cradle to the Grave, which was a biography about Danny Baker, but growing up with his dad, Spud, who did go inside, went into prison for a couple of years. And equally, John Bishop's dad went inside for a couple of years as well.
Uh-huh.
And they both made the comments of that their parents, their dad, wouldn't see them. They didn't want to see them at the time. And they did feel like, you know, life was a bit empty and so on, and they were being punished as well. So I can kind of see where you're coming from on that, but at the same time I also think, well, that's, you know, blame dad, it's his fault.
Yeah, but the thing is, blame dad, but then where does that leave that child, and how do they develop going forward in their lives you know, that could, it just sets up more problems for them in the future.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's a horrific place to be, I think. You know, my daughter was brought up for a long time, you know, without her father. And I think you do see those scars, and you, in later life, you see the gaps, and you see, you think, oh, if only things could have been different. And that's not blaming anyone, it's just saying, you know, it'd be lovely. You see people who are totally secure, and you see they come from these very solid, loving family backgrounds, and you think would have been ideal, because that is the ideal situation for any child, isn't it? It's to be brought up by their parents. And there's always alternatives. And, you know, I was a single mum, so I know there's always an alternative. And children do, you know, I'm not saying that because they're loved, and but there is that gap that only that one person can fill.
Yeah.
Does it leave it open to abuse, though?
Oh, I think definitely. That's the other side of the debate. Take the children out, and you've got you're talking about something completely different. Yes. Whereas I would far more agree with you, Ian, if there were no children involved.
Yeah.
So
perhaps they just Skype their children with an adult present. You know, just have the contact with their children.
But then, does that child, you know, just say, for instance, you know, you watch these films, you watch these programs, and you think, right, okay, because this man is right, where are you off? I'm just off to Skype my daughter. Oh, he's got a daughter. Right,
yes.
now we can get at him from the outside.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Does it leave it open for that kind of abuse too?
I mean, it could do, because you hear about all this grooming on Facebook and everything. You know, it's just I don't know, really. It's depending,
it's like,
on the age of the children, I think, as well. Maybe.
It's a scary world we live in.
I was
thinking, how equipped are we to deal with the pressures of life today? I mean, I honestly, it's only the last couple of weeks that I've been thinking, are we so much, did we miss something here? What's going on here? Do we actually understand what's going on in our own little world now? I don't think we do. And this is just another way of somebody else could turn this around and use it to their advantage.
There's always a negative side to everything, isn't there? Anything that, you know, comes up, there's always somebody who's going to twist it and turn it and make it into something dark and sinister when that was never the, you know, original idea.
Okay, there's a few messages which we'll read out in a moment, but should prisoners be given access to Skype? Now, I've just gone onto this website and I've clicked no, and it's taken me through to the vote result as it is at the moment. So what do you reckon, what percentage would be saying yes, they should be given access, and what percentage is saying no?
I think at least 70% would say no.
Okay, so that leaves 30% to say yes.
Yes,
what do you think?
I'd say higher for no.
Higher for no. No, actually, Dame Shirley's bang on the money. It's 70% saying no, 30% saying yes at this moment in time.
Well, they're probably in prison listening to us.
They're probably, if they got internet time, I mean, you know.
I don't know.
They might be voting for it. I don't know.
They might
even Skype us. How funny would that be? How lonely would they be for them to have to give up their 30
definitely.
Minutes with their children to Skype us? Right, okay. Yeah. Kelvin says that they are allowed a few phone calls. Perhaps this will reduce the overall bill.
I don't know what that means.
Because it is free. It's
free. Skype is free.
It's free to Skype.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue if it's just a phone call Skype, but if it's a picture, you know, with moving pictures, that's when I kind of have
it. What do you mean a phone call Skype?
Well, just say, for instance, you can speak to somebody over Skype and you don't see them.
Using the internet.
So it's just a phone call.
Yeah.
It's just sound. It's audio.
Right.
Oh, look at her little face. Look.
Well, I don't know. I didn't know you. But you can talk to somebody on the internet then.
Yes, yeah.
Without using a phone.
Without using a phone,
and that's Skyping without... Okay,
yeah.
Right, I'm with you now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if they push this one through, what else are they going to do? They're going to allow people to, you know, take part in Snapchat and Facebook and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's weird. Would you agree to that? Would you allow them to be on Facebook?
No, definitely not. No. There's a lot of people on there now that shouldn't be.
So, you know, shut the door on Skype, I think, is probably the, you know, unless it's in extreme cases where people can't make it for a face-to-face meeting.
Because prison, you know, we've always had some sort of jail system, haven't we? And that was removing people from society. Whereas now with modern technology, there are so many other ways to connect, and Skype is obviously one of them. Telephones are one of them. So... as time goes on, they're getting more and more ways to be back in the world that they're supposed to be ostracised from.
Yeah. Yeah, there is yeah. that.
But what I'm saying is that punishment of being taken out of the world and removed from it totally with technology is allowing them ways back in, isn't it?
Which
is that's diluting the punishment.
It is diluting the punishment, but then again, if you wait for, you know, a period of time, hey, look, you don't get this straight away. You have to prove to yourself you're on the mend and you're righting the wrongs. You know, you don't get it straight away. You don't get it as soon as you move in. You're there for a period of time before we relax the rules. Maybe that should be the case. I mean, I'm still absolutely 100% behind, you know, no way. Because if you give them this, they want to be on Facebook,
what's
they want to
next?
Be on Snapchat, they want to be on Twitter and so on, and that would be so wrong.
Yeah.
David says, sounds like too much freedom to me, and I think you're right. Philip Pyro Petty says, no, they're supposed to be punished, but here's an interesting one from Paul. Paul says, I say, good idea. When visits are impossible, kids can still see and talk to the incarcerated parent. It's all well and good saying that they are there to be punished, but the families they leave behind don't. Mm. And besides, it wouldn't be as when they wanted. It would be a privilege, thus give even more incentive for good behaviour whilst away. The majority of, excuse me, got to click on this button here, the majority of the punishment aspect comes from not being there as a parent stroke husband when things get tough outside for mums and kids. Emphasis on there on females and not the male being in prison. I think, you know, it's a fair point, but I still think they're going soft.
Yeah.
That's my take on it. I just think it's where we draw the line. What's wrong with a phone call?
Yeah, I mean, they've been soft in the prisons for years now. Well, this is getting softer, isn't it, really? I mean, have they got internet they can use then? I don't know.
Okay, should we take a call? Hi, who's this?
Hello, it's Jackie.
Hi, Jackie, how are you?
I'm just, are you talking about prisoners having sort of like rights and privileges for Skyping and stuff?
Yeah.
No, they shouldn't, because I don't think so, and I understand the concerns about the children, but to my mind, that's part of the punishment, and that prisoner then has to realise it has a knock-on effect.
Yeah.
Mm. And that he's got to be more responsible towards his family, and if his family have to suffer short-term, he might learn a lesson.
Yeah.
And if you keep giving in, and giving them all these things,
because
I think that's wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you.
They should be deprived of everything that anybody outside prison has a right to. They should have no rights whatsoever other than food and lodging, I think.
I've always said that, you know, when I was brought up, it was a case, if you went to prison, you had bread and water.
Yeah.
And I think, things have moved on slightly since then. You could have more than bread and water.
Yeah, you couldn't get away with that. But I'm not saying maybe the ones that are like the petty criminals that are in for short term, as it were, I think that if they had a shorter, harsher sentence, in as much as they were absolutely deprived of all their privileges, apart from a prison visit.
Yeah, and they should be made to work as well.
That might make them think twice. Mm. If you make it too cushy for them, and they're only in for a couple of months, oh, that's all right, or 6 months, I'll be out soon, and in the meantime, I might Skype, I can get on a computer. No, I'm sorry, you can't. You're in prison for a short term. You damn well suffer in there, not inhumanely, but you just now sit there and you reflect on what you've done and the effect it's had on your family.
No, I agree.
Maybe you might think twice about coming back.
I personally think we're going soft, and this will show great weakness, and it will just escalate. There will be X amount of prisons that are able to Skype.
Yeah, but when they were going to have the right to vote. No.
No, they don't, do they?
They don't have any rights.
No, of course they shouldn't. No.
That side of the fence, I'm afraid. Mm. That's how I feel.
I don't know
about the long-term lifers. Then I suppose, if they're never going to come out, then you can't keep perhaps that severe, harsh regime up for too long. But I think for people who are in for, say, a year or 2 years, I think it wouldn't do them any harm to really know what it's like to be in prison and deprived of all your rights because of what you have done.
What do you think about if it's a woman's prison and they wanted to Skype and speak to their children?
What's the difference? I mean, people should be responsible for their own actions.
Yeah, I do agree with you, but, you know, I was just wondering if the women prisoners are going to be allowed to Skype to talk to their children.
Their punishment is that's what you have you've done wrong. Part of your punishment includes that.
Definitely.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said.
And you might keep the prison numbers down in a way, because they'll be in for shorter times. And they won't perhaps re-offend, because they won't like it.
Do we know when before the prisons got quite so cushy, I'm talking about in the 60s, you know, I remember them being very austere places. Yeah. Do we know if there was a less frequency of re-offending then? You know, were people less likely to want to go back?
I think so, wouldn't you? I mean, again, I think I'm probably very wicked and probably get an awful lot of reaction from what I want to say next, is I honestly think that there ought to be some form of corporal punishment.
So do I, Jackie.
I really do.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I agree with you there as well.
You know, it's got to be something that's so unpleasant, not something that's going to long-term damage, injure...
I think this should be made to work.
I think they should be definitely made to work.
Yes, do something.
Because... to ever go back there and experience that again.
Because didn't they used to make
mailbags.
Mailbags, yeah. Mm. They don't do anything now.
You've been watching too much porridge, surely. are we saying that, you know, because it's going soft and because it is soft, people think, well, hang on a minute, this is softer on the... It's softer, life is softer on the inside than it is on the outside. Yeah.
But if you're on the dole, they make you, you know, they put a lot of pressure on you to find work.
Yes.
And, you know, it's fine, but they want you off the dole and in work. And even, you know, mums with young kids, they want them out of the home and into the workplace. Yet prisoners... can, you know, like you say, Shirley, they don't work. I don't understand that. Why aren't they doing something to benefit society?
I know that they're up in this prison here, they make stuff from wood and they sell it, but that's if they want to do it.
Well, that's different. You that's know? Not what we're talking
and
about,
And I really
is it?
Think they all should be made to do it something to help the society.
Humiliating and degrading experience and something that's so unpleasant that they never want to go back and do it again.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I think, without it being inhumane, or without the... Richard do-gooders and
all those
stupid people.
But there are enough people out on the outside doing really unpleasant, awful jobs for a real pittance. Mm. And it's just a shame they can't be doing something to benefit other people. They must have skills, these people, that aren't being tapped into.
They'd be better off on the inside, wouldn't they? Some of those people on the outside. That's the sad thing.
That's what I said. That's what my mum used to say.
A lot of pensioners say that.
Yeah, she said I'd be warmer, I'd be fed, and I wouldn't have to worry about the bills.
That's right.
That's right.
And I'd go and play snooker if I want to.
That way. It shouldn't be a better option, should it?
Mm. Can I have a twin cell, please, with a double bed?
Yeah,
call us about 7:30 in
the
morning.
Sea view.
Sea view.
Through my bars.
Eggs over easy.
And I'll have a canary in with me.
I understand that you've got to be aware of perhaps dietary needs, because if you're diabetic or intolerance to any kind of wheat or
something, that's all taken care of.
Those sorts of things. But I think they've got to be put somewhere where it is so sort of awful that they think, I'm never going to do anything wrong when I get out, because I just don't want to come back and do this again.
And also, if they're not very well or something, they get the best medical care out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've sorted that one out.
We have.
How many? Governor, it sounds to me.
Well, absolutely. How many times have you been married?
Me?
Yeah.
Don't answer that. Don't answer that. You don't have to tell him.
Why?
Come on, Ian, just tell her that
you're 6 times. The reason why I ask is because the other side of the subject, the other subject we're doing is learning about you know, men and women, did we not know, and there's things we find out. You know, how many things have you found out over the last few years about your husband, and you think, oh, that's the difference between men and women?
We can multitask, can't we?
No, I think any, really, because I think, you know, the fundamental difference between men and women, I think only women know, because men don't think they've got anything the matter with them.
Oh, well said. Well said.
You're absolutely right, of course, Jackie.
Of course you are.
I think men are much more closed than women.
Really. I mean,
Jackie, do you think that?
If I am a little bit sort of, you know, get a little bit peeved, and I say to him, oh, you know, I might say something, and all he says to me is, I blame the parents.
Yeah, I do. I blame the parents. Some women don't listen,
or else I'd
Jackie.
Say something like, your mother never told me that about you.
Jackie?
Yeah?
Do you think men are more closed than women? Do you think women are more open and talk about their feelings? Do you think men are harder to read?
Yes, but I think, I think you're right there. I think women do like their girly chats. I don't think men like blokey chats somehow. I don't know. They might do, but it doesn't seem to be a very blokey thing, does it? The only way I think that we can outwit them in some ways is planting a seed in their mind that you might want something, and then let them think they've thought of it.
Yeah, drop hints. Mm.
Mm. Yeah, you can get right. Kind of yeah. Get around,
oh, don't tell Ian this.
No,
don't tell Ian this.
The idea.
All right, okay. Thanks for that tip.
Put a secret out there.
Thanks for your call, Jackie.
Bye-bye, Jackie.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, I've got a useful tip there then. I can use that. Mm. Right, okay, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back with some messages to do with prisons and Skyping. And plus, what were you saying about this 10 things that you've got a list of?
I've got some things here. What difference between men and women?
All right, we're going to come back with that in the next little bit.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Call them on 01983 240 240. That's 01983 240 240. This is Vectis Radio.
Darling, we desperately need our gutters cleaned.
Give White Stream a call. They are the island's exterior cleaning and restoration specialist. They clean gutters, fascias and the windows in one package.
Do they clean driveways too?
Hang on, I'll just check. www.whitestream.co.uk. Yes, they do. Wow, it looks like they cover it all. Maritime, commercial, industrial, restoration and solar panels. When was the last time we had our solar panels cleaned, love?
We haven't.
It says here we could be losing up to 30% efficiency if they're not cleaned regularly.
Better get them to do that too. I'm just telling my mum about White Stream. What was the number and website?
The number is 01983 642 101.
Say that again.
01983 642 101. And the website is www.whitestream.co.uk.
White Stream, the island's exterior cleaning and restoration specialists. It's what's on the outside that counts.
The loss of a loved one through bereavement is one of the hardest and most painful things we have to go through in life. It's a great help and comfort when someone can sit down with you and talk you through the kind of service you would like to mark the passing of your friend or relative, and then on the day deliver a warm and positive ceremony with his or her life at the heart of it all. My name's Jonathan Skeet and I'm an independent funeral celebrant. For an informal chat with no obligation whatsoever about how I can help you in this crisis moment, call me on 01983 868607. That's 01983 868607. Or ask your funeral director.
The Dotty Imaging Company is a new business on the beautiful Isle of Wight, specialising in creativity from graphic design for print to hand-produced paintings and drawings. Looking for inspiration for Christmas gifts? Something unique? Then the Dotty Imaging Company is your solution. Using the traditional techniques of fine dots, I can produce beautiful pen and ink artwork that can be personalised for family and pet portraits. Order now your unique island gifts in time for Christmas, or purchase a portrait voucher to give to that special someone, or even treat yourself. Google Dotty Imaging Company or find me on Facebook. You can call 07443 506 213. The Dotty Imaging Company, where creativity starts at the dot.
Are you an employer concerned about your responsibilities for workplace pensions? Sage have got it covered. If you already use Sage Payroll software, you can add the Sage auto-enrolment module to help you manage your pension duties, enrol your staff and comply with the new legislation. Contact the Asperity Group, that's A-S-P-E-R-I-T-I, on 01983 721548, your local Sage business partner. Visit our website at www.asperity.co.uk or email us on info@asperity.co.uk.
Lifeline Alarms and Security Services, providing security and alarm services for the leisure industry, domestic and residential, and more. Providing access control emergency systems, key holding, installation, monitoring intruder alarms, and much, much more. Check them out at www.lifeline-security.co.uk. Put your mind at rest. Call Lifeline Alarms and Security Services on 01983 521 621. That's That's 01983 521 621. Lifeline. They put you first.
For a magical Christmas treat this Christmas, why not take the family to the Isle of Wight Steam Railway Santa Specials? Operating on selected days in December, you will get to ride through the winter countryside on a 10-mile steam train round trip, meet Santa in his grotto, and even enjoy a festive drink and mince pie. There'll be a lovely festive atmosphere with music, entertainment, and even Christmas donkeys. For full details and online bookings, visit www.iwsteamrailway.co.uk.
Check out the Riverside Centre Carpentry Shop next door to Vectis Radio. Skilled craftsmen have a small shop that's set up to donate to the Riverside charity. The shop contains nest boxes, tables, garden furniture, wooden horses. Practically anything wooden can be made to order. The skilled craftsmen are down to earth and really friendly. So don't be shy. Come and see them here at the Riverside Centre in Newport.
Hi, it's Kelvin here. Just to remind you that the Vectis Radio Saturday Morning Show is on every Saturday from 10 a.m. 3 hours of great music, all the what's-ons and gig guides to the island, plus same song, different language, and occasional guests. It's a great show, but let's see what my voiceover pals think. Maggie, your thoughts?
Whatever.
Okay, Dominic, what do you think?
A morning show in the afternoon.
And Melanie, your views, please.
Honestly, there are no stand-ups these days.
There you have it, the Saturday Morning Show on www.vectisradio.com.
Stay social and get in touch. Add us on Skype. It's vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
OK, we're back with part two. Just explain part two to us, Kenny Dame Shirley. This is things that you find out about men and vice versa.
Yeah, yeah.
OK, go on in.
I've got some things here that you never knew about men. Well, you probably do know about it, but I'm just going to let you know what you probably didn't know.
All right.
The average life expectancy for a man is 68, and for a woman it's 73.
Why? Is that because the men are more hardworking than the ladies?
These are just facts.
Yeah. Is it true, though, do you think?
Well, yeah, do you know what it is? Because in these homes for old people, elderly people,
yeah,
it's nearly all women.
OK, so where are the men then?
They've gone.
They've put them in.
They've gone. Oh, they're dead.
OK. Why is that then?
I don't know.
Is that because the men are much more hardworking than women?
I don't honestly know, but I don't think they do work harder than women.
They're very young ages, aren't they?
Yes,
what did you say, 68 and 73?
Yeah.
I thought we were all living longer now.
God, I ain't got long to go.
How long have you got? A year?
Yeah.
Don't hang around, will you?
This is a load of rubbish.
This can't be right.
No, of course it can't. So, and my husband will be dead by now.
I've just learned an interesting fact.
Don't say that.
I've just learned a very interesting fact, and that is women are a little bit more gullible than men.
All right. Well, look, this is what the paper tells me, all right?
Oh, you believe that, Shirley.
You're not really strengthening your argument, are you?
I haven't made it up. This is what I've read.
Okay. Give us another one.
Right. Around the world, 107 baby boys are born for every 100 baby girls. So we've got more baby boys being born than girls.
Hang on, what was the figure again?
107 baby boys
107.
Are born
yeah.
for every 100 girls.
Every 100 girls?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's only seven
more.
Oh,
no, they're not much. This is rubbish,
So it just proves my point that women are more gullible than men.
All right, this is only something I found in the paper, Ian, that I thought might be interesting.
So 107. now, this is really interesting because I don't know whether you heard this. It is out there for public knowledge, and it would be interesting to see. We had this great conversation when you were gone. You went to the little ladies' room.
I went for a walk.
And we were just having a conversation about the way we all think, and we've all got a different opinion.
Mm.
And something that was used by Andrew Turner at one of the hustings last year
mm-hmm.
was they asked all the candidates, and I think there were six of them, weren't there? and they said, what local bill would you push through if you had the opportunity to do so? And all the other candidates stood up and said, oh, and they talked about local issues, local problems and so on. And Andrew Turner stood up and said, there are more female babies aborted than boys, okay? Now, I don't know whether that was true, it was the other way around, but that was what he said. And he said it needs addressing. And somebody said, can you just confirm that that would be your bill if you wanted to push through? And he stood up and said it word for word again. Yes, there are more boys aborted than girls.
I think it's more girls than boys, isn't it?
Is it more girls than boys?
I would imagine so.
And he said that needs rectifying, that needs looking at. Now, as a bloke that grew up on a council estate, didn't have the best knowledge of this, that and the other, I looked at that and thought, has he lost the plot, or is it something I don't see? And that's where we are. When you look at Lady C on, I know this is a gigantic leap, but when you look at Lady C on I'm a Celebrity, you actually like her because she's entertaining, and you like her as well because she comes across a decent person.
Yeah.
I can't stand her.
Yeah.
So we're finding out more and more about what makes us tick, and it's not just down to men and women. So we're looking at that and thinking 107 and 100. Is that really a problem? Is that really an issue? Are we all agreed on that, or are you going to disagree?
I can't understand why you come out with that, actually.
Would it matter to you? Does it matter to you? Because it matters to him, and it matters to other people as well.
The abortion?
Yeah.
I think, isn't a lot of it on religious grounds? That's why a lot of hospitals, particularly in London, won't tell expectant mothers what they're having. They're not allowed to tell them, are they? In case they abort the baby if it's a girl. Because a lot of religions prize boys over girls.
When I had
my little girl, I went into, it was a Greek guy running a dry cleaners, a big Greek family ran it, and he said to my husband, what did you have? And he's a little girl, and the guy said, oh, what a shame, he said. And I've never forgotten that, because we'd had a little girl rather than a boy, which is obviously prized in that community far higher than a girl.
I know a friend of mine, she had three girls and she definitely wanted a boy, and the fourth child was another girl. She had nothing to do with that baby, she didn't want it.
The point I'm trying to make is we all have a different opinion, and sometimes we look at men and women and they have a different opinion for obvious reasons, but sometimes it's just not quite so obvious, is it?
No,
because you've got a man there that stood up and said that.
I don't understand,
and we kind of didn't understand.
No,
it.
No, I don't.
What are we missing here? It's not okay, let's take the mickey out of Andrew Turner. It's a case of, well, hang on a minute, I want to understand, why are you different? And this is it's the same with men and women, although I don't think there's massive differences between us. I think when it comes down to it,
I don't understand that. Okay. Well, it's like when he stood up and talked about the zoo, wasn't it?
What is it you don't understand about what he said? He disagrees that people are aborting more girls than boys. Is that what he said?
Well, how's he got the figures? Yeah. I mean,
I think they are out there.
That doesn't matter how he's got the figures. That's what he's saying, and that's the bill he's going to push through. So it doesn't matter to you. We're both looking at him and thinking, hello, has he lost the plot? Has he been on the old sherbet or what? To somebody else, that would mean something to them. And I say, that's how we roll, isn't it, as people? It's not just a men and women thing. It's
Now women can, there's gender selection, isn't there? There are ways that they can decide what baby they're going to have. They can alter but they can make decisions. And if, like you say, if somebody's got a family of all girls and they want a boy or vice versa, then they can make that decision to abort that baby. And I mean, that's a whole other discussion.
That's another
topic, isn't it? Massive,
yes.
Massive emotive.
Yes, that's really, yes.
It's very deep. Anyway, you've got any more there for us?
Yeah, hold on.
Something light, Shirley.
Right. On average, a man will spend almost 6 months of his life shaving. Well, I mean, a woman doesn't spend 6 months shaving.
I don't know. Depends how suit they are, doesn't it? How hairy Mary they are.
I mean, the times we shave our legs and that, I suppose.
Armpits, you think legs. About
it? Things have changed dramatically.
Places where we don't want hair.
Oh, don't go there, Shirley, for goodness sake. We've had velvet underpants. You're taking us to places we don't want to go, quite frankly.
It's been one of these shows.
I've got these awful visions emblazoned on the back of my brain now.
You can write a book about these velvet red underpants.
So do you plait your armpits or do you shave?
Oh, I wax.
You wax?
I have
waxed. You're a brave lady.
Yeah. Wax
I
under
go,
there,
I go
yeah.
and have them waxed and my legs waxed.
You wax under your pits?
Yeah, I don't do it. The lady does.
Good grief.
What a way to earn a living, eh? What a way to earn a living, waxing Dame Shirley's pits.
Yeah, but they don't get that long because I have to keep them done.
Even so.
Do you know what?
Is that all you have waxed, Shirley?
Just under my arms and my legs. My other bits I keep.
Oh, good girl. Good girl.
Okay, you've got 70.
All right, Ian, are you getting this insight into the female psyche now?
I was hungry, but
you started this, aren't you?
I've lost my appetite.
You're going to ask me next if I'm going grey, aren't you?
No.
No, nobody was going to ask you that, but now you've said it.
What's the next one, Dame Shirley?
Right. The average male foot in Britain, let's see if you're average.
I am. I'm very
average.
It's
10.5 inches. I'm on about your foot, Ian.
10.5 inches.
And the average female foot is 9.5 inches.
Right.
I don't know how many inches my foot is. How do you... I mean, I know you've got your size, but that's not in inches, is it?
Yeah, I would imagine that's about right.
Yeah.
Men have bigger feet than women.
Yeah.
All right, then. Men always want to be a woman's first love. Women like to be a man's last romance.
Okay, just can you explain that?
You don't want to have had to know that your lady love has been laying with another man before you.
Yes.
You want to be the one and only.
Mm.
When you get to 50 and you start a relationship at 49 or whatever, the chances of that is pretty remote, aren't they?
Mm.
And you would think, oh, you're lying, aren't you?
But these days...
These days, I think it's pretty remote when you're about 20.
Oh, crikey, yeah. Well, younger than that.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I was just trying to be polite, Shirley. And I don't know why I even said these days. Why did I say these days? I was no better in our day, really, were we? Goodness me.
No, my husband's not listening, so no.
Oh, we can get the truth in, can we?
Come on, I've been married 48 years, Ian.
48?
Mm,
yeah, well done you.
That means for 22 years you were out there free.
Shh.
So.
How many times have you been married, Ian?
Two.
He was going to count them.
Two for now.
Yeah. And would you agree with that? That with, you know, when you were younger, would you want your lady to have been the first? You know, you to be the first?
No, because I'm a realist. You've got to look at it and think, well, hang on a minute.
Got practice, haven't you?
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's you know, because it goes both ways. So if you're, hang on, I'll rephrase that. It does though. I can't rephrase it because that's the way it goes both ways.
It
and
does.
You know, I think in all honesty, you have to be fair. You have to be realistic. You know, you're not gonna if you at the age of 35 start going out with somebody and they're the same age as you, the chances are that they've been with somebody else.
Mm.
We have to deal with it.
Mm.
And the chances are they've been with probably more than one or even two or, you know, maybe even a lot more, maybe we're even at double figures.
We don't want to play that game, do we?
No, Ian.
Well, see, it doesn't bother me. At the end of the day, it's just being honest, isn't it?
I mean,
but you don't want to think about that, though, do you?
No.
Or after, really.
This is getting dreadful, is it?
It's because I'm here. I'm sorry.
Have you got another one there, Dame Shirley?
Do you think they'll give us FM or not now?
On that last 5 minutes, definitely. This is what they're missing on FM. For goodness sake, we'll wake them up. This is what radio's all about. It's all about speaking and being honest,
isn't
it? Of
course it is. 65% of men in the UK use Facebook compared with 79% of women. And I agree with that.
Yeah. So there's more women on Facebook than
Definitely. There's a lot of women on there.
Why is that? Is it because they're gossipy?
Because they're at home a bit more with their children.
Is that?
And we like to communicate. We like to communicate.
Of course we do. We like gossip.
Yeah, there's that as well.
We like to know what's going on.
I still don't... I can't work out why men... Have you got a theory on this? Why men actually don't live as long as most women? The average. Because that's what they're saying. There's about five years. Women live longer for about 5 years.
You go in an old people's home, elderly home.
I'm not disputing it.
And it's all women.
At all. I'm not disputing it at all. I'm just saying, is there a reason for it?
It must be a physiological thing, isn't it? You know, that heart attack, something must be weakened, something.
Maybe the generation now might be different because more women go out to work than what they did years ago.
Yeah, that's true. And men used to do a lot of heavy manual labour, didn't they?
My dad was the only one that went to work. you know, my mum all stayed at home looking after the children.
Oh, right.
But then again, that was hard work, looking after children.
Okay. Have you got one more quickly? Because we've only got about 40 seconds.
Right. November the 19th every year is not only International Men's Day, but also World Toilet Day.
There's a link.
This is probably just a coincidence, it says.
Probably.
Well, there you are.
You've always got to bring it down to toilet humour.
I think that was bringing it up from where we were. Well done, Shirley.
That's a nice change. You've never done that before, have you? Hey, look.
And now you've just thrown it down. Well done.
Well, we have to finish on a good note, don't we?
Ladies, thank you. It's been lovely.
Thank you.
Some of it.